Welcome to The Champagne Way,
a podcast devoted to living every day like a celebration.
Welcome to The Champagne Way. It's episode 52. Welcome to the Roaring Twenties. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Trina.
And I'm Jess.
I can't believe it's 2020.
Yes, and we are too lit to quit. Woo!
Woo! That's the theme of this episode.
Yes, because it is Trina's first drinking episode.
That's right. I feel like I haven't drank in like a whole year.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And yeah, we took like a whole month off too.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But
we're back.
Yeah, we have lots of things to talk about and lots of things going on.
We do. So let's start with Jess. What's in our cup?
Okay. What is in our cup?
What am I finally drinking?
Kool-Aid. Yes. It kind of looks like Kool-Aid. But it's something called Buggy Cerdone.
Buggy.
I feel like it's supposed to be like bougie, maybe.
I like that.
Bougie.
Okay, we can say bougie. It's La Cushuala. It is imported by Kermit the Lynch. Frog. Kermit the Frog Lynch. Okay. It is a green bottle.
I was saying the bottle is green, but the bottle made our drink quite deceiving because when we poured it, it was, it's almost like a red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A red sparkling wine, not even like a rosé or just regular champagne. So.
And here's my favorite part of this bottle. There's a quote and it says, "Good wine is a necessity of life for me, Thomas Jefferson."
Oh, yeah, TJ.
That's right.
Nice. Well, this bottle was gifted to us from our listener, Phyllis.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Thanks.
This is quite delicious. What do y'all think?
Yeah, it's good for a red sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make all the mouth noises. It's quite tasty, but I haven't like had a full glass of any champagne or sparkling wine in like a year. Yeah. So
it's a little on the sweeter side, so if you do like sweet wines, this is definitely one to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like a deep pinky red, like the color of the sunset on a warm day.
You know what it makes me actually think of? It's like a different take on a mimosa, but already mixed in a bottle. Oh. So it's like if you were to take like a fruit juice, maybe not necessarily like a cranberry juice, but maybe another kind of like grape juice or something, or fruit punch, and mix it with champagne.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too.
So if you're into that, you should buy some of this bougie boogie stuff.
Bougie buggy Cerdone.
I just want to keep saying
bougie bungalow.
We're at the bougie bungalow.
It's either buggy Cerdone or it's bougie Cerdone.
If you speak French, then please correct us.
If you speak Harry Potter, it's bogey.
I'm not sure the price point on this one, or since it was gifted to us, or where she got it from, but she brought it up when she came for the baby shower.
Yeah.
And we decided to save it for this very special episode where I finally get to drink.
Yeah. Trina's getting lit.
That is correct.
Drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, what is our drinking game, Linz?
It is.
I think it should be lit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
I mean, you just said drink after Trina said the word lit. So there we go.
We are too lit. Too lit to quit. Drink.
But drink responsibly.
So fun story behind this, and you'll see it on our socials, but producer Marshall got me a light up sign that says lit specifically for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So not only is it our drinking word of the day or for the episode, we actually have like a physical representation of it.
Yeah, it's so cute. And it's lit.
And it's lit. A lit, lit sign.
Drink, drink, drink.
That's all right. Everybody drink.
Three times.
All righty. It is time for champagne shout
out. If you have someone that you'd like to shout out in your life, please let us know. You can let us know on our socials or on our website, thechampagneway.com.
I'd still like someone to send us like a really good toast to someone.
Oh.
So our champagne shout out can be like us reading a toast to someone.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listeners, you should do that. Send us a toast.
A toast.
Who would you like to toast in 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like, roast.
Toast.
You know, maybe keep them a little simple. Don't need to be too long. But maybe if we get some really good ones, we'll share them on our 2-year anniversary episode, which will be coming up soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Second year in 2020.
What?
That's right. All right. So I've got a shout out that I'd like to give.
Okay.
This would be to producer Marshall.
Oh.
Because he has been like a rock star for the last month to me.
Aww.
Everything from taking care of me in the last few weeks of pregnancy to the first few days in the hospital, transitioning home. Like, he's been rock star dad, husband, partner, just everything.
Aww.
So he changed, we'll get into this later, but like, he changed all the diapers for like the first 24 hours of our baby's birth, you know, which is a lot for someone who literally had never changed a diaper up until that point.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He learned really quickly. But yeah, no, he's been an amazing person, just everything that he's done for me. So shout out to producer Marshall.
Marshall, cheers to you.
Yay.
Here's our toast. Dear Marshall, we may be partial, but you're the best dad.
He actually has a shirt that says Impartial Marshall on it.
Oh my gosh.
Of course he does.
That's awesome. All right. Lindsay, you've got a champagne shout out.
Okay. Yes. So we have, I feel like, done a shout out to her quite a bit, but she totally deserves it. So Lori, our longtime listener, she lives in Orlando. I was in Orlando the past week, and she met me and my family at Harry Potter World at Universal and gifted Rory the cutest little bow. Yeah, it's a Cinderella bow, and it lights up.
Aww,
oh my goodness.
Lori is the sweetest.
Yeah. Yeah, she is the best. I was hoping we could like meet up one day at a Disney park, but it just didn't work out. So that means I'll have to go back.
I mean, naturally, uh-huh. I mean, you have to go back now.
I mean, for sure.
But that was really sweet of her.
Thank you, Lori.
Yep.
Love it.
Now, speaking of that, do you want to tell us about your lit vacation to Disney World?
Okay, so we took a big family vacation down to Disney for 7 days, and we drove. We ended up being 14 hours with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I have come up with a little list of some tips if you're going down to Disney with a kid.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Because we've never done Disney with a kid before.
Well, and now this was also kind of different because you did Disney after Christmas, but and then through New Year's and after.
Don't
right?
do it.
Oh, is that tip number one?
Well, I didn't put it in there, but don't go. It's one of their busiest times. Like, a couple times the parks reached capacity.
Oh, my.
Like, you're talking an hour and a half to ride the darn teacups.
Wow.
The teacups.
Oh, wow. Like, I've been told that several times, and I know that's like a blackout day for like Disney employees. They can't even like usually get in themselves on those days.
I mean, we were at Magic Kingdom a full day, and it was on the 2nd, which was considered one of their slow days. And we rode 4 rides.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. That was a slow day?
That was a well, they thought it was going to be. It was not.
It was not. Oh, my.
It was not a slow day.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear this list.
Okay.
So my first little piece of advice for Disney is, if you're going with kids, is to save money and do not do a park hopper.
Well, that kind of makes sense, I guess, because now with kids, is it just hard to bounce from park to park?
It is so hard. First of all, you've got this gigantic stroller and you have your backpack full of kids crap and then your husband's backpack full of kids crap. And
I thought you were gonna say husband crap.
I mean, me too. Would not be a surprise.
Yeah. So before you go into any park, they have to search every bag.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to do that, and then getting this gigantic stroller on anything, a trolley, a tram, a bus, it's a lot of work. So just mm-hmm. do it as less as possible.
Yeah. Is there anything that you like thought you needed that you packed that you were like afterwards like, why the heck did I like bring that?
No, there are some things that I didn't bring enough of.
Oh.
Which we'll get to.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I would also suggest that you stay at a Walt Disney World resort if you have kids.
So worth the money.
It's worth the money, and the All-Star resorts are the least expensive, and they are actually just geared towards kids. There's stuff for the kids to do like 24/7 there.
I'd imagine the convenience of them as well, like being so close makes a difference.
We stayed in a hotel that was centrally located, which was great, but we had to drive to the park, and the tram, it was so hard to get our stroller on the tram that we walked to the gates.
Oh, and you don't want to do that when you're at a packed park and you're going to be walking all day.
Right.
It's like adding an extra 2 miles.
We average 5 to 7 miles a day.
Oh, my.
So after the first day of trying to get that stroller on a trip, we're like, no. Mm-mm. So, you know, with you staying on a resort, you can ride the bus, which has a little bit more room. And you don't have to fold up your stroller as much.
Is this how they probably get people to just rent their strollers?
You can. It's $15 a day, mm-hmm. you know, for their like plasticky strollers, mm-hmm. which would work. But my thought process is like, what if we buy stuff? It'll be nice to have the stroller that we can put stuff in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know how much room those strollers would have. I didn't want to pay. We already paid $25 a day to park, which you don't have to do if you stayed at a resort.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, just take it to the car. Like, what if Rory was asleep and we needed to wheel her to the car? We'd have to wake her up if we rented the stroller there. Yeah, but that is an option. And you can also get double strollers, which I think are like $25 a day.
But then you can probably put all your junk on one side.
Yeah, so that's an option. But you just can't take it out of the park. So, again, you still have to get to your car with all that crap and the baby.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Things to think about.
Yep. Another great tip is to build in rest days.
Yes, I have heard that before. Yep.
We had one rest day and it was at the beginning of our trip because it rained. So it really wasn't a rest day.
Mm. And you hadn't really worked enough to need the rest probably yet.
Right. So definitely it did rain most of the day. So, I mean, it was probably a good day to take it. But yeah, just build in a rest day. Again, the resorts have a ton of stuff that you can do where you don't even have to leave, or you can go to Disney Springs, which is free to park. It's shopping. There's a movie theater, a bowling alley, all kinds of restaurants. So that's free too. So that's an option.
Hmm.
Okay. Bring a poncho.
Ah, yes.
Uh-huh. And a stroller poncho, which I didn't even know existed.
Such a thing exists.
I didn't know that that existed either. But like, I mean, I know the poncho thing. Like, if you're at Disney and you think it's going to rain, and in Florida, you can pretty much guarantee it's going to rain, especially in the summertime, for at least 1 hour.
Yeah. We got stuck at Animal Kingdom. We went into the Lion King. We had Rory's cover over her stroller, but it was like monsooning. Everything was soaked. Wow. The whole stroller, the seat, everything was soaked.
Okay, so then it was probably pointless to even have a stroller because you're not going to put a baby back into like a wet stroller.
Well, we were in a carrier.
Well, I guess if she's also wet, then that wouldn't make,
yeah,
that wouldn't matter.
Well, and we ended up putting down my rain jacket, mm-hmm, and sitting her on it so she wasn't like stuck on wet stuff, but still, like, then I was drenched.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I bet that they sell ponchos there, but I bet they're like $10.
Yeah, they're expensive. I picked up an umbrella. At one point, it was $40.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was saying, and would they even have a stroller poncho?
Right. I don't even know where you get that. Like, it was, I looked at all the other strollers. They had them. Obviously, their parents were prepared. Sorry, Rory.
Just get like a gigantic tarp and put, yeah, it over the baby.
She did play in the rain, so I think she enjoyed that.
I mean, that's something interesting to know as a new parent here. I'm like, huh. Stroller poncho. I'm gonna go Google that and put it to my Amazon cart like now.
You should. I can't believe it'd be that expensive on Amazon.
No, especially like now you're probably gonna get one just for the hell of it.
Yeah, keep it in the stroller.
And keep it in the stroller
just for whenever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. Learning something new.
Yeah. Number five is to pack lots of snacks, a change of clothes, medicine, multiple pacifiers, and multiple sippy cups.
Oh.
So you definitely need snacks because the food there is on the pricier side. I mean, it's not crazy and it's actually pretty good, but kids eat every 5 minutes. So you, like, I needed to throw Rory a chip bag or some crackers or some cookies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we took four passies. She lost three of them.
Oh my God.
We took one sippy cup. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea.
She, yeah, I was about to say, there's not places to, like, rinse it, right?
Right. But, well, that was fine, but she lost it the last day. So then I went and bought a Mickey Mouse one for $10 that leaked.
Oh, no.
So.
Well, Disney, you need to step up your, like, quality a little bit.
But the good news is, like, we ran out of medicine. But the good news is they have baby care centers where you can go heat up bottles. You can change diapers, you can buy medicine, you can buy formula, you can buy snacks, all of that stuff. It's kind of centered away at the front of the park, but that is there for people.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know they had that.
Yeah, there was like dads in there shaking the formula bottles and everything.
Nice.
Yeah. So good to know there. And number six, if you are traveling with a child under two, get one of those backpack carriers.
What's, you know, a backpack, like, carrier?
Whatever you carry the baby in, either on your chest or on your back.
Oh, yeah. It's like a baby carrier.
Yes. So most of the lines will not let you put a stroller in line. Oh. And then you either have to hold your baby or chase them around the line.
So, yeah, to strap them to you would probably be the easiest.
So Rory weighs 98 pounds. And we stood in line for over an hour and a half, and all she wanted was mommy to hold her.
Oh, no.
And then it was for really the worst ride I've ever ridden. It was in Pandora World, and I was like, we just waited an hour and a half with a million-pound baby to ride this? Yeah.
That's not like the cool Pandora ride we rode last time, right?
No.
Okay.
No. What ride was bad?
It wasn't bad. Like, 20-minute wait.
But like,
okay, it was a river ride and it was like Pandora, so it was all pretty, but that was it.
Oh,
it wasn't like a fun, like,
adventurous ride.
No.
Yeah, no, I get that. There's some rides that you're just like, I mean, it's not worth like the hour and a half wait for it.
And I did hear that a couple days before that ride went down, mm-hmm, and there was like a riot. And they had to call the Disney police.
Whoa.
And I was like, for this ride? Really?
Really?
I guess people stand in line long enough, they get pissed about anything.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean,
that was rough.
I'd probably be pissed if I waited that long, too.
Yeah. Okay, so my last little tip is to save your money and splurge on a character dinner.
Ooh.
They usually have alcohol, so that's a plus, even in Magic Kingdom. But it's where, you know, your child or you, because Jay and I did it when we just went, we'll get to meet, like, a bunch of characters. Mm-hmm. So we went to the Crystal Palace, which is Winnie the Pooh. So we met Pooh Bear and Eeyore and Piglet and Tigger.
Aw.
And it was a buffet. Mm. It was really good. We ordered a bottle of bubbly. And so Rory got to like spend time and meet all of the characters, and we just got to sit there and kind of like breathe for a minute.
Now, do you do this like, does it take place in the park or?
Yes. No, I think that there may be some character dining in some of the resorts. I'm not 100% sure.
There was when I went to Disney in the early 90s.
Okay. I'm sure there still are. But this is Crystal Palace, and they have a bunch of others. It's worth it. It's a little expensive. You're going to be looking at, what, $60, $70 a meal. But you do get to meet the characters. And that was a buffet, and it was really good food. And they also give you a complimentary dingle hopper and that your daughter can use after she dips it in macaroni and cheese.
Fantastic.
I was like, stop using that dingle hopper. Thankfully, we were going next to get her first haircut at Disney World. So
nice.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. Now, so on average, what does a Disney character dinner cost?
The one we did was, I think, $60 each.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rory was free.
Nice.
But then alcohol is on top of that.
Yeah. That's not too bad for something like that. But that's a good idea to like plan ahead and save up for since it is a splurge.
It is a splurge. It's usually pretty good food. Disney has good food. And it's honestly just nice to sit somewhere in a crowded park and just take your time.
And it's an experience. That's
yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, if you want to meet all the characters, it takes about 90 minutes for them to walk the room. So you can just gorge yourself with as much food as you want.
Nice.
They have these BLT deviled eggs.
Ooh. Oh, so good.
So good. And they even have a little kids buffet station with like chicken nuggies and some peas and carrots and mac and cheese.
Oh, that sounds awesome, though.
And then a full dessert bar.
I love it.
So good.
Wait, you said that the Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
Is that in a palace or in like the castle?
No, it's white and has lots of windows.
Probably from the inside looking out, it might feel like a palace.
Sure.
Okay.
So.
Well, that sounds like an awesome trip to Disney.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So your
biggest recommendation is just not to do it right after the holidays are over a holiday.
Yeah. And if you have a child under like 2 or 3, I'd skip Universal.
Oh, yeah. Because you went to Universal as well.
Yeah. There's just not a whole lot for kids to ride or do. Like Rory couldn't ride half of the rides in Dr. Seuss World, but then she could ride E.T. It had weird rules.
Yeah. I could see that for that place. I mean, their park is made more for, like, I think older adventurous type rides.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think if you have an older kid or a tall kid, it's fine. But it's quite expensive, especially if you do the park hopper, because you can do both parks in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty pricey. So maybe get a babysitter and just you and your significant or insignificant other will go.
Yeah. But hey, good tips.
Yeah, it was so fun. Rory had a blast. She got to meet Aurora, her namesake.
Nice.
Elsa was jealous of her crown. She had a Rey costume and begged for a $50 Star Wars helmet we had to buy. We let her pick out any stuffed animal to sleep with, and she picked Pluto.
Nice.
Which I thought was cute. And then she met him. She met Olaf.
Oh, I bet that. Did she get so excited? Was she like in love with it, or was she scared?
Nervous of the characters like that were dressed like with the costumes, mm-hmm. not necessarily the princesses, but mm-hmm. she was like, what? But she started to warm up. She did Mickey and Minnie and Goofy.
Did she cry to like because of any of them?
No, she just thought it was fun.
Oh, question, like when I met all these characters on my one Disney trip before we went, I had an autograph book.
They still do that.
Did she have an autograph book?
No. We figured she needed to be a little older so she could like remember it.
Yeah.
But good thing to know that if she did, those autographs should match the ones you have in your book.
Mm-hmm.
They have to take autograph classes.
Yep. I remember someone talking to me about that once and showing me, because they let cast members, I guess, take those classes sometimes, even if they're not the character.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So, yeah. It's pretty neat.
When she met Tinkerbell.
Awesome.
I sent that to your sister, Layla. And she thought it was funny. And yeah, so she met a bunch of characters. The Star Wars land is amazing. Definitely go. She loved Animal Kingdom. She just had a blast. It was a lot of fun. She did her first haircut. She got Mickey ears that say, my first haircut.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what was your absolute favorite thing from all the parks? Like, if you had to pick one thing that was like your favorite ride or experience. Oh,
so the new Star Wars ride, I think it's called Age of the Resistance. Unlike anything I have ever done in my life.
That's cool.
So you have to get there early and you don't get in line. You go and have them scan your card or your band and you get a passport, and your app, My Disney Experience, will let you know when it's your turn to go. And you may not even get called back that day, depending on how busy it is.
Wow.
So we got our tickets scanned at like 10:30 or 11. They called us at like 8:30 to go through the ride.
Wow.
So like a 3-part ride experience. They use all of your senses. It's unreal.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would say some might even say it was pretty lit.
Too lit. Too lit.
Drink.
Drink.
We're definitely going to have to go back. I did go through Epcot and I did do the champagne flight that we did.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it was good.
Good memories. Yeah. Good times. Lindsay getting lit at Disney.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So you went to like pretty much every park.
We went to every park. Oh, and I forgot to tell you guys about this. Another champagne shout out to Disney. So we got a 3-day park hopper, which we didn't end up using because we just couldn't hop parks with Rory. So we went to get just a 1-park ticket so we could go to Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking to him. I was telling him we got engaged there. Tell him we named our daughter Aurora. Anyway, they comped us tickets to go to Magic Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's awesome of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every time we go, something magical happens like that. Like when Jay and I got engaged there, they gave us the Mickey and Minnie bride and groom hats with our names embroidered for free.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love that they do things like that.
Yeah.
And that you have stories from each of your trips like that, too.
See, they do good stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything that you did special there for New Year's Eve?
We went to Hollywood Studios. That's the day that I rode the Star Wars ride. And we were exhausted. They gave out little hats with 2020 to everybody and the little blowers, mm-hmm. which all the kids used constantly. And we got back to the hotel and I was asleep by 11.
I was wondering. I didn't get any texts from you like at midnight. And I was like, I bet they're passed out.
Well, since we had a condo with a couple of rooms, but we were in the living room, I had to lay down with Rory and get her to sleep. And I ended up usually falling asleep with her.
Yeah. I would say walking around those parks for days, like, yeah, I passed out pretty early.
Yeah,
too.
It's so exhausting, but it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
All right. Awesome.
Trina, tell us about your break December experience. Anything happen?
Yeah.
Nothing Trina. Too crazy.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing?
No. I mean, it was a nice break through December. I got a lot of sleep and, you know, a lot of quiet time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Not at all. Absolutely not at all.
Why? What happened?
Well, you know, up until December 11th, I had this nice, normal lifestyle. I'd put on a lot of weight in my mid region, but and stopped drinking. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But no, we went into the hospital on December 11th and came out later that day with a baby boy.
Oh, you the cutest little baby boy. Mm-hmm.
So I have some fun takeaways from my experience of having a C-section, coming home from the hospital, and just what life is like with now, a new baby.
You've been popping bottles nonstop.
Yes, I've been pumping bottles nonstop. I told my sister she needed to make me that shirt that says I went from popping bottles to pumping them.
Yes.
I was like, this is accurate for my life right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So first things first, cesareans are very weird, especially when they're pre-planned.
Okay.
So ours ended up being pre-planned because my very stubborn baby, as y'all all know, was breached the entire time.
Yeah.
And so they had a schedule out a C-section 2 days before what would have been my due date.
Yeah.
Because it would have been Friday the 13th, and they wanted us to come in before that. So we went in December 11th. And they, when it's not an emergency, they kind of take their time. I guess like during an emergency C-section, I mean, they can get you in and have that baby out within like a couple minutes.
Wow.
But when they've got it planned out, of course, they like the fact that they can take their time. And they were telling us this, but that was the weird thing about it. They went into full detail of what I was going to experience before I experienced it.
Uh-huh.
I knew this might surprise you a little bit.
So, sorry to interrupt. This is just really funny because, you know, one of my, for episode 5, 6 that I was on was Lindsay's pregnancy episode. Mm-hmm. So now we have Trina's pregnancy episode. I'm sure I'm going to be making lots of faces like I just made.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It is very different. Yeah. So with the cesarean, again, being pre-planned, like we first get in there, they have different people coming in, prepping me, giving the IV and all that. Well, then we had like the anesthesiologist tech come in, and she was great, but she went into full-blown detail of everything that was about to happen to me and was very calm about it. And as I'm sitting there listening, I'm like, do I really need to know? Because she's like, at this point in time, you're going to feel this sensation. It'll last like 5 or 6 seconds. If it lasts longer, you let us know. At this point, you're going to feel this, and it's going to be like a whole person is putting their body weight on you. That should only last for another 10 seconds. And it was like, again, do I really want to know all of this before? Because I'm going to be awake through the whole procedure. Obviously not feeling anything but pressure. And I'd heard that beforehand.
Yeah.
It's accurate. You feel pressure, and you almost, it's weird to say, but it's almost like someone's just kind of jiggling your midsection a lot.
Yeah.
So you feel movement, but you don't feel like pain, like stabbing or anything. Like, I mean, anything you think when you're being cut open and someone's pulling on your innards.
Tell Jess the good part.
I don't know what the good part is.
That they have to take out things.
Oh, yes. They do have to take things out. Like, actually, one of the things she mentioned that I was kind of like, why do I need to know this? She's like, at this point, you're going to feel this kind of like warm sensation. And this is going to be when they're moving your bladder and pulling it out.
Yeah. Like, they had to put all that stuff back in later, but they have to get the baby. So they have to take some stuff out.
Jess's face, pull like, your bladder out.
Your jaw was just a little dropped. I mean, there's a curtain up, so I didn't see any of it. I wasn't even given the option to see it, and I honestly didn't want to. Granted, if they had videotaped it and I was able to watch it after the fact, I totally would watch that. But in the moment, I didn't want to see it. I almost didn't want to hear it before that happened. But I will say it came in handy because I understood during the procedure why she explained everything to me, because she was basically, Marshall was on my left shoulder and she was at my right. And she was like saying, you remember when I told you you're going to feel this sensation? That's about to happen. So it's like, I didn't get scared or I didn't like wonder like, what are they doing to me down there? She was like, remember when I told you you're going to feel that warm sensation or that whole body weight on you? That's happening right now. If it lasts more than 10 seconds, let me know. Right. It was just fascinating because I did not know that they do that. And I don't know if all hospitals do that.
I kind of have to say, like, I would be super disturbed too and be like, I don't want to know this. But in a way, that's really nice that she's doing all this and then saying, hey, if it lasts longer than 10 seconds or whatever, let me know. Because the mortality rate for pregnant women and women who give birth is so high in this country. So that's really nice that there's someone who is like, hey, let me talk you through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and she was so calm about it. Like, so it was, that was definitely kind of weird, but it, in advance. And then during the procedure, it was like very calming because I was like, oh, there wasn't any shocking surprises. It was like, this is fine. I can hear, because I don't know if you've ever seen like a picture or a screen with like, you mm-hmm. know, the woman behind the curtain or whatever. It almost always looks like the doctors are a lot farther away than they are, but really they're working right here, like
right
a few inches below like my chest where the curtain is. So like being in there, it was kind of weird because I'm like, oh, they're like right there.
Yeah.
But
they're so on top of you.
Yeah. I mean, but I could hear them talking and having a whole conversation. At one point, we actually talked about Star Wars and the fact that the anesthesiologist hadn't seen any of them.
What?
So I'm like in mid surgery and they're digging around in me and I'm sitting there going, you haven't seen Star Wars like ever?
Oh my God. Jay would have been like, stop the surgery. She cannot be our anesthesiologist.
But like, it was great to have conversations like this. And of course they brought up the fact, like, if you weren't having conversations like that, then there's something to be worried about. Oh, but yeah. If they can joke with you and everything's normal in conversation, then everything's going pretty routine.
Oh, well, that's so good. That is nice.
Well, and yeah. It's good they talk to you, because if you're a splat and we're like, oh, that's your kidney, it's fine.
Yeah. So I was like, you could hear things, but it was like, realistically, you weren't really paying attention to like what was happening.
Yeah.
The only thing that was like, it was actually kind of really awesome too, is like they literally get to a point where they tell you like, because they let the husband or the partner, whoever's in there with you, bring in their cell phone. Like, they told Marshall, like, have it ready, have it out, because we're going to let you know when we're about to pull the baby out so that you can stand up and take pictures. And he can get the pictures of the baby as the baby's being held up for the first time and all that. So they even, like, told him, like, be ready, it's about to happen, get your phone out. And he got to take pictures of the baby, like, right as they held him up.
Oh, did he sneak a peek? How long is this surgery?
So for me, the whole process of like getting in there, getting the spinal tap surgery and everything, I would say was probably like 30, 45 minutes. So like I said, again, if it was an emergency, they get you in there and they get that baby out like within minutes. When they're scheduling it out, they take their time with the cut. Yeah. Taking the baby out, trying to make it less stress induced on the mom and the baby. So I would say that whole process, I mean, we probably had a baby out within like 10, 15 minutes. And then it took them another 15, 20 to slowly put me back together. Yeah. So
they put all that shit back in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully in the right place.
Yeah. That was the only point where it kind of went a little bit like, oh, what are they saying? And it was because they were talking when they were trying to stitch me back up. That's when they realized I had a lot of fluid built up in me and what do they call it? Edema. Mm-hmm. And so they were having some issue because of that, because I guess fluid was just kind of coming out. And that means like there was fluid like around everything inside of me. So they immediately, after they closed me up, they treated me for preeclampsia for 24 hours.
Oh my God.
And so they put me into a specialty wing and then had to put me on like a magnesium drip for 24 hours. So I wasn't able to get up, hold the baby other than on my chest, like in the bed. And like I wasn't really able to eat anything for 24 hours. Yeah. So they, because of all that, it was just like a very interesting first 24 hours after the baby, which isn't normal for everybody. But I'm glad that they treated me for that, because by the time I got out of the hospital, they had taken 11 liters of fluid off of me, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You think about that. 11 liters.
Wow.
So my pre-pictures of entering the hospital and the pictures of me leaving it, you can see where I like just thinned out.
Yeah.
Automatically. So, yeah. Cesareans, very weird. Having the preeclampsia, a little scary, but I didn't even know you could have that post-delivery. Yeah,
I didn't either.
Yeah. So it probably means I had it or could have been diagnosed with it prior, because I'd had a lot of swelling and stuff, but I had no other symptoms, so they just treated for me before it postly.
Aww. So
yeah, but that leads to number two on my list, which is, did you know that newborns come out purple, bluish?
Yes.
Yeah, they kind of look somewhere between purple, blue, and gray. They change colors, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, because Jay thought that I had cheated on him.
I always hear that like as a joke for men, but it's like I could totally see where when you first see that baby, you're like, huh.
I'm like, with who, Barney? It's purple.
Yeah, it's purple. Yeah, yeah. And so that was kind of surprising. So of course, people were like, oh, did you fall in love instantly? And I'm like, no, my first thought was, oh, that's a baby. And then they kind of like clean the baby up and bring it over and like set the baby on my chest. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, that's like my baby.
Yeah.
Because that first glance at your baby after something like that, you're like, huh, it's a purple baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, what's wrong with it?
Yeah. So just say in case all listeners are aware, your first impression of your baby might not be the bawling tears of like, oh my God, it's my child. It might be, huh, there's a baby. And then it'll catch up to you eventually.
Yeah.
Number three was, hospitals should be more prepared for dads and partners.
Yes.
Yeah. I assume we probably had the same experience with that.
Oh, yeah.
But just in general, I think hospitals should be better prepared for when someone goes into the hospital to, like, have options for, like, guests and visitors. I mean, I know it's not a hotel. You don't need a concierge, but
be nice.
I mean... I feel like they're missing an opportunity to make more money for the hospital, because if they had an option where, like, instead of just bringing me a meal into the hospital room, but they also had an option for my husband to get a meal.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. So he didn't have to leave me mm-hmm. to like, and our baby, because he can't take it with him. Mm-mm. And I couldn't get out of bed for 24 hours. So like, he had to leave to go get food because he didn't have anything to eat. They also didn't always have like adequate blankets or pillows.
So I feel like this is any hospital with any stay. Because when my husband had surgery, he was in the hospital for like 7 days. I had to sleep in a stand-up chair. And the last night I was there, someone's like, oh, did you know that can turn into a bed? Are you motherfucking kidding me?
They like never told you?
No.
Yeah. See, I feel like that's like something like they never showed Marshall like ways to like put down things that obviously turned into a bed of some sort. But yeah. Like no one ever would explain it to him. He just kind of figured it out. Yeah. And then depending on what room we were in, because we ended up moving at some point, like he didn't always have like a pillow or a blanket or even a sheet. So he was like. Yeah. Put. Luckily, he had brought a hoodie. Like I told him to bring one at the last minute. Like he put one on and. Like, the worst part was that first day, they had me on the magnesium drip, which made me feel like I was sunbathing and made everyone else feel like they were freezing in the room. Oh. So he was, like, bundled up with, like, three layers on him, and I was, like, barely had, like, a sheet on me.
Yeah. I mean, one night, I remember scooting that chair up to the edge of his bed and sleeping half on his, like, the end of the bed, like a puppy. He's like, can you move? Like, oh.
But you have this bed.
I know. Like, don't you need to walk around?
Yeah. I just feel like they should be more accommodating of that, because it shouldn't be a surprise that people are going to have someone stay with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's, I mean, they could probably make money off of that. I just don't know why they're not more accommodating.
I know.
But just if you ever have a baby or if you have a hospital stay, that's probably one of the most important things to put in your hospital bag.
Yeah.
It's an extra blanket. Bring a pillow. Not for you, but for whoever's going to be in the room with you. That's very, very important. And lots of snacks. Like, luckily, we had people who came to visit us and brought us snacks and meals. So he didn't have to leave as often.
Yeah.
But that was something that we didn't prepare for as well. And... would have been good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So let's see. Number four, sleep deprivation with a newborn is like a whole new level of sleep deprivation.
Yes.
It's not something you can ever be prepared for. Like I was like, I mean, I function all the time off of like 4 and 5 hours of sleep. It's totally fine. I've done this a million times. Marshall's done it a million times because he's been traveling on the road and, you know, but consistent sleep deprivation. I've even had insomnia in the past, and this is different than that.
Yeah. Well, and you have to keep a little thing alive. It's dependent on you. So you have sleep deprivation and this fear, and it's all tied into one, and then you get anxiety over it.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that profited off of my sleep deprivation and my anxiety of being a new parent and coming home was Amazon. I think I bought something on Amazon every night somewhere around 2 or 3 in the morning for like the first 5 days, all for baby or for baby's room. But like, I think I spent probably at least like $30 to $50 a day for 5 days straight, just thinking, oh God, I need this. Oh God, I need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Paranoia hit me on like the first day or second day, and I ended up buying this little thing called a Sensu that you can literally put on like the baby when they're sleeping, and it notifies you if they roll over, if they stop breathing, or if they have a body temperature spike or drop.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Amazon knew that I was looking for those things, I swear to you, because it like went on 50% off sale at that time when I was buying it, because I checked the next day and it was no longer on sale, because I went to send it to one of our listeners who just had a baby, and it was back up to like $99, and I had bought it for like $45, and then I think it went on sale for her. But like, or to someone else that I had sent it off to as well. But I was like, I swear they know.
They do. Yeah.
They were looking at my search history, and they're like, okay, if we offer her discounts, she's going to buy everything between 2 and 3 in the morning. Yeah. I bought so many things.
Oh my God.
So yeah. Many things.
I'm so fascinated.
They profited so much off of me.
Oh yeah. They know.
The last like 3 weeks, which feels like it's been a lot longer.
Yeah.
When you're on like a 2 to 3 hours sleep cycle, you feel like a week into it that a month has passed.
Yeah.
Even just by the time we left the hospital, I felt like our baby should be like at least 3 weeks old. It had been 3 days.
Here's what my mom tells me. It's long days, but short years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that already. Like now that almost a month has already passed, I'm like, where did a month go?
Right.
Like, but at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking like, this baby's been here for like forever.
You're like, should I start planning for the 1 year old birthday? It's right around the corner.
Exactly. I'm like already making plans for the whole year. And I'm like, the baby's still like 3.5 weeks old. So it's been very, very, very interesting to say the least. Number 5. Baby boys have a lot of leaks, and Huggies will bring you new life. Ooh. We've tried a bunch of different diaper brands, and no one informed me this beforehand, but like, probably because I have a lot of friends who've had girls.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently, boys are a little different, and, you know, if they're whatever you want to call it, if their pee pee is facing the wrong way, they're just gonna pee everywhere. It's gonna come out of the diaper in all the places that you think it's not supposed to come out of. And
what do you point it down?
You have to point it down. Oh. You have to point it down every single time, every time. But the key thing is, some of the diapers will like give them just enough room to wiggle when they kick their legs when they sleep make it go back up. So yeah. Pampers Swaddlers, which everyone swears by and what they give you at the hospital, no go for boys at all. Like, ours has been Huggies. Huggies has been, like, the best thing ever for that, because they just cover a little bit more and come up a little bit higher in the front and the back.
We like the Huggies little movers for toddlers, too.
For toddlers?
Yeah, Huggies.
Yeah.
And the Huggies nighttime, you have to get a different diaper for nighttime when they get older. So you have to have two kinds of diapers.
Well, that's what we've kind of been doing already, because someone had bought us like a whole pack of the Hello Bello diapers.
Yeah.
They're great for daytime. I wouldn't use them overnight. We use the Huggies for overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They well, especially if they sleep all night, then they can absorb more and won't leak.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unfortunate trial and error.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of trial and error. Like, luckily, that was the good thing about people buying us different brands, is that we could kind of test it out. Someone bought us Huggies, but in the higher size. Yeah. So we went and bought Huggies in the newborns, because that's the only kind we didn't have. And Yeah. And that was after a recommendation from a coworker of mine who just had a little boy. And he goes, no, no, get Huggies.
Yeah.
He's like, they'll make a difference.
You gotta try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go ahead and get Depends, because my mother-in-law, Mamil, always says men go from Pampers to Depends and there's no in between.
Well, that's good to know.
Truer words have never been spoken.
And let's see. Number six would be beer is the answer to breastfeeding. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, so have you ever heard of like lactation cookies?
Yeah, or I had some.
That kind of stuff that's supposed to help with like bringing in your milk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the two active ingredients that I guess are different that go into a lot of those things is, oh gosh, what is it? It's something that I keep adding to my smoothies now, like...
hops?
Not hops. Well, so they have... The beer thing is that it's brewer's yeast. But like, so if you have low milk supply or anything like that, you can drink like a stout beer, like a Guinness, and your milk's going to come in. I only had like half a beer on New Year's Eve, and that's the first time I've drank a beer since being pregnant. And the next day I was like, oh my God. And because of that magnesium drip, I've had trouble with my milk supply, and that like
kicked it off.
Like, that very next day, and I was just surprised about
that.
What
are those shots that I made us take all St. Patrick's Day?
Irish car bombs.
Yeah, that's what you need to do every night.
Irish car bomb.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. The Irish car bomb. That is also an answer to breastfeeding, if you really want to know, apparently.
It helps the baby sleep, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they say, like, obviously, if you drink, like, a beer, it's not going to go into your milk. Like, it's just fine. But yeah, it will make a difference, because that's what they're putting into these lactation cookies and brownies and stuff is brewer's yeast. And then the other thing is like, oh God, I literally can't think of it, but it's something you would put into like a smoothie or something. It's like a seed or
chia.
Not chia seed.
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed. Yep. Yeah, so I put flaxseed in my smoothies, and then I drink these Malta drinks that are like non-alcoholic but have like a brewer's yeast in them. Uh-huh. But the beer has definitely been the best. So.
I just feel like if you did Irish car bombs, like, just do that. Try that for
do
like
an
a
experiment.
Week.
An experiment with that this week. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Just
if you need
tell
help,
us,
let me know.
Tell us how it goes.
Yeah. So
I'll make them.
That's life as a new parent and the tips and tricks I've learned
Yay!
From this.
Well, he is the cutest, most adorable thing in the entire mm-hmm. world. We just love him to death. So
he
cute.
Is adorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely has Marshall's eyes and mouth. He's got my nose, and we don't know whose chin he has, because if Marshall has a butt chin or a dimple chin, we just don't know.
I guess.
So,
because Trina's never seen him without his beard.
Ever. In like the 14, 15 years we've now been together.
Does his mama know?
I mean, I'm sure she does.
Did
but
he have
she probably
that when
don't
he was
remember.
Born?
Like,
did he have a beard when he was born?
I haven't seen pictures of him when he was born, so. Yeah. Unfortunately, so someone else asked about that. They were like, well, who does he favor as far as like your baby pictures and then Marshall's baby pictures? Well, I was a third child. I now understand why my parents never have pictures of me. And the moment after I had a baby and like survived the next 3 days and then the last few weeks, I've now forgiven them for never taking pictures of me as a baby.
I came and took a bunch of pictures of your baby.
Well, yes. I mean, he's a firstborn, so he's gonna have plenty of pictures. Mm-hmm. But I can totally see where by the time you get to your third child, which I can't imagine taking care of a newborn and then having two toddlers running around.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine having a newborn and one toddler running around. So, like, they instantly got forgiven. Like, clean sway. It's like, I'm not mad at them anymore.
So, I saw this couple at Disney, and they had four boys, and they had a four-part stroller.
Oh, my. Were they all around the same age? Like, were they, like...
They didn't look like twins or triplets, but they were all under, like, five.
Oh, my.
But that mom was pushing them. And you couldn't roll that stroller up. She had to walk to the gate. And I was like, damn, girl. Get it.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know.
That's been my other takeaway is like, How do single parents or parents of multiples like survive?
Yeah.
Because this is a lot to take on.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they say it takes a team, it does.
It really does.
So I have a whole new like respect for people who are doing it alone or who like have multiples, because even then, if you have a partner, you're practically doing it alone because you got two kids and two people, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's been fun.
Yeah.
And it's been very rewarding. And our baby is the cutest, adorable baby ever.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that. Oh, but yeah. So Marshall doesn't have any baby pictures of him because apparently when they were living in Oklahoma, someone broke into their house, ended up stealing when they among the stuff that they stole picture albums and stuff. And then when they realized it was picture albums, they just threw it all in a river.
So seriously?
That stuff's priceless. Yeah.
So it all got damaged.
Motherfucking dick.
Bullshit.
Bring those pictures back,
what
river.
What kind of horrible person does that? Like, at least just throw it in a dumpster. Like
a crackhead.
Yeah. So
that's so sad.
So someone asked us about that, like, who does he favor? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, he makes certain faces and I'm like, Layla? I mean,
you gotta fuck with people, you'd be like his real dad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Like the mailman.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's weird.
So weird.
The mailman.
But yeah. So that was my December and January. Yeah, so far.
What about you, Jess?
Well, over my winter vacation, I did not give birth or go to Disney.
Nope, but you did get a big D.
I did get a big D.
Did you get lit in the big D?
I did.
I did.
I got
drink
big D and got lit in the big D, and I got sports.
She went to the big D, and we do mean Dallas.
Dallas.
She went to Dallas, y'all. Stop being dirty. Gosh.
Stop being so dirty.
Okay. Yes. Will and I went and watched some sports in
sports ball
Dallas.
Stick.
Sports ball stick.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Winter Classic, which, if you don't know, that's the NHL. That is, well, I'll just say, we're big fans of the Nashville Predators, if you don't know. That's our hockey team.
Wait, what team? No, just kidding.
So
they do know, because the last episode was when you, no, one of the last episodes, you had to go get your gravy boat.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
We did have to go get the gravy boat. So the Nashville Predators, that's our hockey team, and we finally got to participate in the Winter Classic.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, which... So that is that's the 11th. This is the 11th Winter Classic. So that's the big giant outdoor hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like this year was 85,000 people, I think.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
seriously,
a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
That's how many people were in Trina's stomach.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the 11th one. They started doing it in 2008. And I think the NHL just really wanted people to watch more hockey. And so they wanted to make it more exciting.
Well, then let's put it on a football field.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
In Dallas.
Well, so
I have some questions, but I'm going to wait till you finish.
Okay. The Winter Classic's usually like original six teams, which is like Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Montreal, those teams. So it was a really big deal, and it's or northern teams. So it was a really big deal when it was Nashville and Dallas. And this was announced in April. So as soon as that was announced, and it's always played on New Year's Day. So as soon as it got announced, Will and I were immediately like, we're forking going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also,
you can cuss now.
We're fucking going. I forget. So we were like, we're going to go. This is so exciting. And we just, I mean, it's a chance to go. I've never been to Texas. And I was like, yeah. So we went and traveled. And first of all, the Preds aren't doing so great this season, unfortunately.
Mm.
So whatever. But it was still really fun. So I've never traveled for a big sporting event before.
Oh, wow.
So this was just like a really fun opportunity to do that. So we went, and I just have a couple of tips.
Oh, yes. Please tell.
I got some tips. For traveling, for a sporting event, because I've never done it, and I learned some stuff. So let me just holler at you. First of all, make sure you take plenty of sporting gear for your team.
Yeah, like, you probably don't want to buy that stuff there.
No, you don't. Well, especially if you're the visiting team, because we're in Dallas. So if you're a Dallas fan, you got plenty of stuff to buy. But like, you want to show your support the whole time that you're visiting. So like, we went and it was so much fun to like, we wore like a Preds jersey or a Preds sweatshirt or something every day we're in Dallas. We got there on a Sunday and the game was on Wednesday, New Year's Day. So like, we were like visiting museums and shit. And so we were like in a Preds stuff every day. So it was so much fun to like walk around Dallas and like be like, hello, fellow Preds fan. Hello, all you Preds people.
Oh.
So like, just make sure that you pack plenty of like appropriate sports wear.
That makes sense.
For
that
the entire sense. Time.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, my suitcase was full of Preds gear.
Nice.
Make sure that you stay in a centrally located area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So makes sense. Yeah. So both of stuff that you can do and also where the sporting event is taking place. So we stayed like in the arts district. So there were plenty of like restaurants and museums and stuff like that. But then we could get to the Cotton Bowl Stadium, which is where the Winter Classic was taking place. We could get there very easily on the DART, which was the Dallas like light rail transportation.
Nice.
The DART. That's adorable.
That is adorable.
The DART.
Probably smart to look up that stuff in advance, like the city transportation.
And that's also on my list.
Oh.
Yeah. So look at all your different modes of transportation. So lots of people like on the Preds fan page were all like, oh, how should I get there? How should I do this? Like, look ahead. So yeah. Like we took Lyfts and Uber some, but we also like took the DART. So like you can very easily, you can download the DART like app. And you could like download your day pass and everything like that. Or we walked some. It was very walkable. So like, just make sure you research ahead and see what you can do.
Perfect.
For your modes of transportation. Also, when it comes to game day of whatever it is, whether you're going to like a football game, whether you're going to like a bowl game or like a basketball game or anything like that, but especially for like a big event such as this. This was like I said, 85,000 people. It was crazy. The crowds were insane. So make sure you like get a head start, because New Year's Eve we like met up with some people, had happy hour, then we went out for dinner and I had like a delicious champagne flight for New Year's Eve, and then we went back to where we were staying and we got a bottle of champagne and I was already drunk and I was like, let's just pop this bottle on the room. But he was like, let's go down to the bar and sit there and have some drinks. And then we got drunk with other people. And then I went upstairs and I was very drunk. So then I was a little hungover on New Year's Day, which was game day. Whoops.
Whoops.
Uh-oh.
It's the whole reason you're there for it.
I know. So we were going to go have breakfast. Thank God we didn't, because so the puck drop, nobody really knew what time that was. It was like at 1:30, but we were going to go have breakfast. But like, thank goodness we didn't, because like you had to get to the stadium. So like we were like, oh, we'll get some food there. So like it took us forever to get like on the DART, the little light rail, only 5 stops to get to the Cotton Bowl Stadium. But like we couldn't even get on the first train that came because it was so packed.
Oh wow.
And this was at like 9:30, 10 in the morning.
Dang.
Yeah.
What time did the game start?
It didn't officially start until like 1:30.
Yeah.
But it was just, there was just so many people. So we finally got on a train. It was packed like sardines. We finally got there and it was just like, it was crazy. We got into the stadium. people naturally gravitate to the first line that you get to anywhere. Don't do that. Walk around, because there were like 200 people in line to get into the first line in the entrance. Like, don't do that. Walk around, because yeah. No one was in the next line.
That goes for Disney World too. There are more than just the two lines that you see.
I bet. So we like got in, and it was just like, it was crazy. This is another tip. If I'd known that we could bring snacks in, I would have packed my clear see-through bag full of snacks. I did not know this was a thing that we could do.
It's probably good to know, like, look up the stadium rules on that.
Right. Like, I knew that we could bring clear plastic bags. I didn't know we could bring snacks because I was so hungry and hungover. But the food lines, people stood in line for an hour and 45 minutes for a corn dog.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
So did you at least enjoy your time, or were you miserable?
Oh, no. We had so much fun. It was a great experience. It was just very crowded and crazy. So I'm just saying, like, that's what I learned. Like, and I think that part of it was just the setting and the arena and the venue. It was just really crazy and crowded. No, it was so fun. The Predators lost, unfortunately. But we did score 2 goals. And yay. So the like 20,000 Preds fans traveled there, which was great. We like did our home cheers. The Cotton Bowl is where the Texas State Fair happens. So they thought it would be great intermission entertainment to have lassos.
I mean, it's Texas, so.
to have pig racing.
That sounds cute.
To have square dancing.
Okay.
And to have 3-year-olds ride on top of sheep. So I guess like sheep wrangling.
I would have paid to see all this.
So that was the intermission entertainment.
Screw the hockey game. Get that pig.
It is very interesting. It's also interesting to think like what cities will do what, because like obviously if it was in Nashville, like
Nashville would have been like up your game.
Nashville would have been like, all right, what country music star do we have that's not going to be too hungover to perform?
Right.
Or they would do, like, who can build their own meth lab the fastest?
Is that something we're getting known for?
Tennessee.
Maybe. So it was fun to just, like, see such a huge sporting event, to see, like, an outdoor hockey game. It was actually overcast and I think 42 degrees.
Oh, nice.
So it was like good weather.
I hope you both are like, yeah, nice, good weather. And I'm like, no, that doesn't sound super great.
No, I mean, I was cold, but it was like good weather for the ice.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's about the ice, Trina.
I mean, I guess. I was saying, we watched part of it on TV and I was like, it looked cold there.
Yeah. No,
it was 85.
I was cold.
And flipping Orlando, and you get 42 degree glorious weather in Dallas, Texas.
The day before it was like 60 and sunny. It would have been horrible if it was that weather. Everybody would have been like, you can't have hockey in the South.
True.
So, it was great. Dallas was fun. I always like to travel and see a new city. And I had lots of delicious drinks and food. And just be prepared when you go and travel for a sporting event.
Oh. I just got to say this. I like how I was going to say fiance, but your husband will group text us like the transition of Jess drinking.
Yeah. Like, I love it.
Like Jess ordered a flight of champagne. He's like, I'm going to take a picture and send that to them. It's the best thing ever.
It was cute. It was cute.
And I will say earlier in the day, we went to a brewery and I had a cider mimosa, was champagne and a cider.
Mm-hmm.
And we left there and we were going to go like back into the city because that was like a Nashville Gulch type of neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Just one of their little neighborhoods. And we were about to walk back into the city to meet people for a happy hour. But then I ran across the street because I found this shop that was like alcoholic popsicles.
Oh,
Awesome.
So I obviously went inside there and had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
That was New Year's Eve. So no wonder I was so drunk later that night.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome. Also, I like how that version of a mimosa is alcohol paired with more alcohol.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not like juice.
No, no.
Buy juice. Yeah. No, let's get cider up in here.
Mm-hmm. So
that's pretty cool. Well, cool. So all in all, pretty good trip.
It was.
Those are some good tips for traveling to like a sporting event.
We all got the big D.
Yeah. The big D's for everyone. Disney delivery in Dallas.
What? What?
Lit. Ooh. Lit. Lit. Drink, drink, drink.
I'm
drink,
out.
Drink.
No, it's Trina needs that little bit that's in there.
Yeah. I mean, might as well fill her up.
Baby got to get sleep.
I mean, this is my first time drinking this stuff and like not just like a sip or two to taste test for the show, but like to drink.
Hey, Trina.
For the show.
Lit, lit, lit.
I'm basically going to have to chug the rest of this now.
It's so weird. Lindsay and I have to share the bottle three-way again.
I know. We're going to have to go back to two bottles.
Oh, darn. Sorry, guys. We're going to have to drink more.
Whoa.
I got a Magnum with your name on it, Trina.
I'm glad you didn't bring that for the first episode because I'd be beyond lit and passed out.
Yeah.
I'd go really quickly from lit to out.
We're going to do that on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
There we go.
Give me like a month to get my liver caught up and like, I don't know, my tolerance maybe.
The husbands can deal with the kids and then Will can come see what it's like.
Yes.
He would love that.
Or Jayan Marshall could go out and do something and we could leave the kids with Will so he could really see what it's like.
Yeah. That's a true parent experience if you ever want more than one kid. Toddler, newborn.
Yeah.
I mean, he's dealt with his nieces before, but maybe he needs the toddler newborn.
All right.
Yeah.
Will, you up for the challenge?
We'd like to know this.
Yeah.
All righty. It is time for our favorite part of the show, guys. Drink about it.
Drink, drink, drunk.
Drink.
Drink.
Lit.
So, good or bad, we want to know what you are drinking about this week or every week. So send us your vent-worthy and celebratory drink about it moments every week. And if you have multiple, send us all of them.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can send those to us on Instagram at The Champagne Way, through our Champaigners group on Facebook, or to info@thechampagneway.com or on our website at thechampagneway.com.
Get the theme.
Yes. So, Jess, what are you drinking about this week?
All right. Well, first of all, I just found some sad news, which is actually kind of related to my Big D trip to Dallas.
What's that?
The Predators have fired our head coach.
So this is not good?
I don't really know.
I mean, well, they got like a game this week. So
we're recording on a Monday. We have a game tomorrow on a Tuesday.
And this happened today.
This happened like an hour before I came over here.
Well, was the coach any good? I guess not if they fired him.
We're not very good at all right now.
So it's his fault.
But doesn't mean he's been bad in the past. I mean, he's done something.
He got us to the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago. So he got fired. Our assistant coach got fired. I, at this moment, don't know who's going to be coaching our game tomorrow.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm like, what do they do in like the meantime?
Well, usually the assistant coach becomes the interim coach.
So they were like a package deal and they just like both got canned.
I mean,
so I feel like they should hire the mascot.
Oh, yeah. I would really like to know what Nash would do. He has a great Twitter account.
Yeah.
So I'm he might do a great job.
I feel like he just put himself in the game.
Probably.
It's not that hard to coach. You just tell him when.
Yeah.
Duh.
Duh.
Yeah. So that just happened and that really sucks. And I'm also drinking because I'm very sad in general for the continent of Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. I know.
Yeah. So it's really sad. There's fires.
It's on fire.
You can see the fire from space.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
It's essentially as big as a majority of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sucks. And I was just kind of looking up some different ways that you can help. You can donate money. There's all kinds of through the like the Australia Red Cross. There's lots of different knitting that you can do for like joey pouches and bat slings, mm-hmm. And koala mittens. Mm-hmm. So I found some different links that I thought I might throw up maybe on our social media or something mm-hmm. like that. If people are knitters or anything like
that's
that.
That's cool.
I'll say, if you want like a quick way to look up one of the biggest donation sites I've seen people posting about, the comedian Celeste Barber. Have y'all ever heard of
her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she started a donation link just to put up, and I mean she's been documenting like every day in her Instagram stories like what's going on over there and how surprised she's been because it all of a sudden jumped up to like over $30 million
wow.
on
wow.
the account that she started like for the fundraiser.
Is so she the one that would send naked pictures to people then got kicked off Instagram or sorry
no
to?
I think she's the random one, model
yeah
oh no she's the one who I love her she's hilarious but yeah. she's the one who makes fun of like models and celebrities in their yeah. like photo shoots so it's like Kardashians like wearing next to nothing and posing like ridiculously sexy yeah. but like just ridiculous stupid pose mm-hmm. she'll do like the everyday version of that.
Yes,
it's hilarious.
I love her,
but yeah, no, she's posted a lot about it, so she's a good person to go follow and just see. Like, she's even been posting like going and like serving at like the areas to like sort through donations yeah. and going through those processes, and I think that's kind of neat that she's mm-hmm. been showing like someone actually taking action.
No, that's yeah. great.
And then she's also been kind of discussing like what her plan is to do with all this money because she had no idea it was going to raise that much. So she's then divided that up and been like, we're going to try to send this here and this here.
That's always nice aww. To like see somebody with an action for all the money that they actually receive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's talking about like how to like reach new goals to actually help rebuild people's homes.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
You know, and then a lot about like the animals, because there's a lot of animals that have been displaced that mm-hmm. are injured. And so she's kind of covering everything.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Cool. Aww.
So yeah, that is very sad though.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right, Lindsay, what are you drinking about?
I'm drinking about, I'm back to work and I'm not at Disney World anymore.
Boo.
Oh, boo.
No.
Are you ready to quit everything and move to Disney again?
Yes. Y'all all know, almost quit college to be Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm.
Worst mistake of my life.
What would you want to do there now?
Oh, we're going to retire there. Jay's going to drive the ferry boats and I'm going to be Grandma Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Grandma Tinkerbell. I love yeah. that.
It'll be popular in a couple years.
I mean, I was about to say, you need to like start working on that storyline now and then like get Disney to produce that movie
yes.
so that you can be that person.
Yeah, for sure.
I bet
yeah.
they would for our generation.
I mean, honestly, they probably would. Now that we've got like Disney Plus,
yeah.
like
God.
Everyone's all about the nostalgic and then
it's true.
The story being extended.
That so. Is true.
Yeah. I just went through like all the Little Mermaid movies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Little Mermaid, the original, the second one when she's got a kid, and then the pre-first one where it talks about like Sebastian and having his like.
I've only seen the first one.
I didn't know there was a Sebastian movie.
Well, no, it's all of them. It's like, but it's like there was music banned in the kingdom, which is why the kingdom then had like this big whole thing about Ariel's voice.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Like. I found out on our trip there was a second one. Yeah. Anyway, interesting.
Interesting. Disney Plus has all that now. So I feel yeah. like you can make this story happen with yeah. Tinkerbell.
It's true. I'm going to work on it.
You should.
Stay great. Tuned.
New plans. I'm going to catch up with you halfway through the year and see where you're at with that.
Okay.
Great.
Any other drink about it?
Nope. What about you, Trina? What you drink about?
I am drinking about sleep deprivation and also that I can drink again. So I have event worthy and celebratory. Yeah, I love having a baby, but yeah. I miss sleep.
Yeah.
Also, I miss real food because I realized I didn't prep well enough for like food prepping and a baby is time consuming, yeah. especially once Marshall went back to work. And There's been a couple of days that until he's gotten home, I have lived off of snacks in a basket.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. And you posted something the other day. It's okay to receive help, but it's also okay to ask for help.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that now because it's like you don't want to be a burden on anybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, yeah, this is hard.
It is hard. And people don't want to be a burden and keep asking if you're okay. So mm-hmm. you just let anyone know, especially us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you need something.
Oh, I had a friend who's offered this week to come over on Wednesday for lunch to bring me lunch and sit with my baby for a couple of hours so that I can shower.
Yeah.
And I aww. Was like, yes, please come do that.
Yeah.
So I'm learning all of the things of like what I should do now when I have friends who have babies.
Yeah. It's hard to think too, and you'll forget it. And even when like your baby gets older, like when we got home from our trip the next day, Jay let me shower and shave and wash my hair. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the last time I was able to do all that without like a toddler coming there and beating on the glass being like, mommy, mommy, mommy.
Yeah. So I'm sure.
It just like the little things.
It's the little things.
It is.
I've also learned this is a big one because I definitely have done this to people in the past. I would think like after they had a baby, like I don't want to be a burden to them. So it's like, I don't want to bug them. Yeah. And like, you know, they'll let me know when they're ready to take visitors.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. Like, no. That's been like one of the biggest things I've learned that I have myself have been guilty of. Like, no, if you know someone who's had a baby or had surgery or been to the hospital, anything like that, you contact them and you say, can I come over on this date at this time? They will tell you yes or no.
Yeah.
And then if they say no, you give them another option.
Yeah.
That way they don't have to think about it.
Yes.
Especially with a schedule that's constantly changing. For anyone that's contacted me and been like kind of like, hey, well, when can I? They're barely getting a response because I don't have time to think, to respond, to tell them when to come over. But the ones who've been like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be in the area. Can I stop by at this time? Or can I just come by? Oh, I'm like super thankful for them.
Which, well, you lose track of what yes. day it is. You just can't plan ahead. So you need somebody to do it for you.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. like, in theory, it makes sense to be like, I don't want to be a burden on them. Yeah. But in reality, like, they don't want to think. Just give them option A, B, C. They'll let you know if none of those work.
Yeah.
Versus... like, we did have a couple people who wrote to us and kind of, like, were getting a little annoyed in a way about us not responding to them and being like, sure, you can come over. Let's schedule this out. And I've been like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Please
yeah.
just give me an option and just show up.
Well, it's like, I brought you guys food and I was like, are you in a mood for something? You want me to surprise you? Because I know how it is. It's hard to make decisions.
Yeah.
So I just surprised y'all.
It was perfect. It yeah. was absolutely perfect. I was like, I don't want to think anymore. And that's yeah. been my motto for the rest of it is like anyone who asks something like that, I'm like, surprise me.
Yes. It's just hard to yeah. like function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. So I've learned that. I'm very guilty of it. And I've done it to people. And I definitely like feel like I should apologize to them now. Because I've learned my lesson. But
no, it's yeah. just, it's life.
It's yeah. a process. It
yeah.
really is. But I'm excited. I have a baby. I can yeah. drink again.
Yay!
All woo! Is right with the world. Oh. And in a few years, I might catch up on sleep.
Yeah, well, when they turn 18.
Yeah.
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 Perfect. Yeah.
You've made it look a little too easy, Lindsay.
It was a joke, right? No, Rory sleeps good. She's been sleeping through the night since she was 2 months old. But still, you just don't sleep soundly ever again.
Yeah.
Because what if they die?
Yeah, that's the big overall fear now is like, it's you don't really care as much about what happens to you.
No.
But you care about what happens to your baby and your partner.
Yeah.
Because if something happens to them, you're like, oh, God, I got to do this alone.
No.
So. Will sleeps until like 10:30 on the weekend. So
oh, right now.
Tell him to enjoy that since he yeah. wants kids. That won't happen.
No.
No. No, no. Any of these guys out there that kind of act like the whole macho, this is a woman's job kind of thing. No, no. Get over that really quickly.
Yep.
In this day and age, it's a two-parenting job.
Yeah.
And like I said, Marshall, right from the very beginning, had to step up, and I wasn't able to move for 24 hours, so he had to change every diaper, and he didn't know how to change diapers.
Yeah.
So he had to learn really quickly. He didn't know how to swaddle, so he had every nurse that came in the room teach him how to swaddle.
Yeah, I still can't like, swaddle.
He had to learn everything all in that moment. How to pick up a baby properly, how to dress a baby, like yeah. all of the things to this little breakable human being.
They are hard to break.
Yes. But he like there's that fear, and like he's always been kind of hesitant to hold other people's kids and stuff. No, he
Me
instantly
too.
Like had to just embrace it all.
Jess, like, how you feeling? You ready to go home and get the big D? It's the theme of the episode.
I don't know if that's going to be the theme tonight.
She's like, oh, where's my birth control? Like, let's re-up that yeah. right now. All right, yeah. everybody. Well, thank you for tuning in for our episode 52.
Yeah, and stay Ooh. Tuned for the rest of the year. We got some good stuff coming up.
That's right. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary, so we'll be announcing stuff about that soon.
Woo!
That's right. If you got anything that you want us to cover, any bottles you want us to review this year, be sure to let us know. Again, hit us up on our Instagram, at The Champagne Way, online, thechampagneway.com, or join our Champagners group on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is the year of the champagne. And 2020, slightly blurry vision for me right now because Trina's back to drinking.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.